This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Department of Agriculture will be opening up for disaster assistance coming up on March 23rd for producers to apply for eligible losses of drought and excess moisture. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue announced the additional disaster assistance late last week. Through WIP Plus, the USDA is helping producers recover from losses related to 2018 and 2019 natural disasters. USDA is also entering into agreements with six sugar beet processing cooperatives to distribute $285 million to grower members of those cooperatives who experienced loss. Secretary Perdue says, quote, disaster events in the past 2 years have been atypically widespread, relentless, and unforgiving. Adding, quote, President Trump has the backs of our farmers, and we aim to support them as they recover. In June 2019, more than $3 billion was made available through a disaster relief package passed by Congress and signed by President Trump. In December of last year, Congress passed and President Trump signed the Further Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2020 that provides an additional $1.5 billion for the continuation of disaster assistance program delivery. A report from the World Wildlife Fund details how the Mid-Mississippi Delta River region could become the next California of fruit and vegetable production because of climate change. The report, The Next California, Phase 1, investigating potential in the Mid-Mississippi Delta River region, explores the viability of shifting some fruit and vegetable production to an area of the U.S. currently dominated by row crops. Findings show that while California will continue to be a key agricultural state, the Mid-Mississippi Delta River region is well positioned to support fruit and vegetable production, contributing to more of a distributed and climate-resilient food system. Jason Clay, a senior vice president of Markets at World Wildlife Fund, says, quote, a hotter and drier California with more extreme weather events is bad news for farmers. Adding, quote, we need a plan to mitigate risk and take some pressure off of the state and its environment. The report identifies several advantages to selecting the Delta region as a pilot for more intensive fruit and vegetable production. These include a long history of farming, the low cost of land and labor, fertile soil, abundant rainfall and surface water, and economic benefits. Beijing recently made U.S. poultry shipments eligible for exemptions from extra tariffs, and poultry shipments to China are on the rise. A Reuters article points out that the additional tariff relief may give China a greater ability to follow through on promises to buy significantly more American agricultural goods as part of the Phase 1 trade deal. U.S. chicken producer Tyson Foods says its chicken shipments are already rising as a result. China had said last month it would grant exemptions on retaliatory duties to 696 U.S. goods as part of its efforts to ease the trade war between the two largest economies in the world. Jim Sumner, president of the U.S. Poultry and Egg Export Council, says U.S. poultry was not eligible for the exemptions until last week. Quote, we're now getting the product into the country without any retaliatory tariffs, Sumner says. Global meat and poultry suppliers are competing for sales to China, where an African swine fever outbreak has trimmed the hog herd by more than 40%, raising the need for protein import. Beijing removed almost a 5-year ban on U.S. poultry imports in November, which U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says was now meaning that an additional $1 billion in shipments to China every year. Quote, we're now on a level playing field with other poultry suppliers to China, Sumner added. The 2020 Commodity Classic wrapped up the last week of February and set a record for the number of farmers who attended the event. The total number of farmers who registered for the event was 4,678, the highest number in the show's 24 years. That was 83 more farmers than the previous record of 4,595 set in New Orleans during the 2016 Classic. The 9,350 total registrations were second only to 2016. The 2020 Commodity Classic, which was in San Antonio, was jam-packed with dozens of educational sessions, a huge trade show that featured almost 400 exhibitors, a keynote address by USDA Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, as well as policy meetings of the sponsoring commodity organizations. The Commodity Classic will celebrate its 25th anniversary as it makes its return to San Antonio next year, March 4th through 6th, 2021. The Classic was first established back in 1996 and is America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused educational and agricultural experience. The Commodity Classic is presented every year by the American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers, the National Association of Wheat Growers, the National Sorghum Producers, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. The National Pork Producers Council has elected new officers and board members during the National Pork Industry Forum in Kansas City, which was held last week. Howard Roth, a pig farmer from Wisconsin, was elected as the new NPPC president. He's a fifth-generation farmer who owns Roth Feeder Pigs. In addition to serving on the NPPC board for 8 years, he previously was a member of the Wisconsin Pork Association Board of Directors and is currently the chairman of the Association Swine Health Committee. Roth takes over from David Herring, a North Carolina farmer who now becomes the NPPC's immediate past president and now chairman of the Council's Trade and Nominating Committee. Jen Sorensen is the new NPPC president-elect. For the past 9 years, she's been with Iowa Select Farms, a business that markets more than 5 million hogs per year. Sorensen was previously the communications director for the Iowa Pork Producers. Terry Walters of Pipestone, Minnesota, is the new NPPC vice president. He's involved in the Minnesota and South Dakota Pork Producers Group, the Pipestone County Pork Producers, the National Pork Board, and he also chairs the Animal Health Food Security Policy Committee. In other news here on your Tuesday morning, coming up next Thursday, the 19th, at 10:50 in the evening, Central Time, those of us here in the Northern Hemisphere will welcome spring with the arrival of the vernal equinox. If this seems early to you, you're right. In fact, this is the earliest vernal equinox that has occurred in all time zones in 124 years. Traditionally, we celebrate the first day of spring on March 20th or 21st, but this year it's even earlier. That's something that hasn't happened since 1896. There are a few reasons why seasonal dates can vary from year to year. The first is that a year is not an even number of days at 365, although this year, a leap year, it's 366. But the seasons aren't even equal dates either. Another reason is that the Earth's elliptical orbit is changing its orientation or skew, which causes the Earth's axis to constantly point in a different direction, which is called precession. Since the seasons are defined as beginning a strict 90-degree interval, these positional changes affect the time that Earth reaches each 90-degree location in its orbit around the Sun. Of course, the spring vernal equinox is the first quarter around the Sun. The pull of gravity from other planets also affects the location of the Earth's orbit, the Earth in its orbit. The current seasonal lengths for the Northern Hemisphere: summer is 93.6 days, autumn is 89.8 days, winter 88.9 days, and spring 92.7 days. As you can see, the warm seasons, spring and summer, are combined 7.5 days longer than the colder seasons, which are fall and winter, which I think nobody will complain about that. In other news here locally, Aaron Kistner of Witt was selected as the District FFA Proficiency Winner for District 4 here in Illinois. In Ag Communications last Wednesday, the 4th in Sullivan, Garrett Shockey also competed in District Judging and Fire Safety. Both members are of the Hillsboro FFA chapter and were previously chosen as their chapter and Section 19 winners in their area. Illinois FFA recognizes students in 50 different areas based on their work-based learning, known as a Supervised Ag Experience, or SAE. FFA members select areas of interest and keep detailed records on that type of work for the hours and work they have completed in each area. Both of the members were Section 19 winners in their area back in February and moved on to district competition in Sullivan last Wednesday, where they were interviewed by a panel of judges. Aaron will now be moving on to the State FFA Awards selection at the U of I in Champaign coming up on Saturday, the 21st. Moving on now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board, the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro will be hosting a pop-up workshop that will be held tonight from 5:30 until 7 at the Montgomery County Extension Office. There is no charge to attend, but they'd like you to pre-register, and you can do that online or by calling their office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And that wraps up this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any Ag news for us or anything for the Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, the 10th of March, this has been Gabe Osborne for WSMI Ag News.